Greetings and salutations. We are Pop Culture.
Welcome back to episode 76 of Pop Culture, an episode that I titled The Biggest Bunch of A-Holes in the Galaxy.
Wow, I thought we were your friends.
Yar.
This guy. So
where did that come from?
I tell you.
Oh, you should know where it came from. Hey, what that means is...
I should.
That means we are still doing our summer event, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we are on phase two, folks, as we start July, the month that we celebrate our 250th anniversary that we're still somewhat here.
Hang on.
Anyway, with me on the porch, we have...
Ron Roberts.
We have...
Robert Yeoman.
And we have...
Dave War.
And we don't have Jeff.
No!
Our laugh track is gone.
What have they done with him?
One of us might actually win the quiz.
Well, we'll see. I have a feeling he's going to phone it in.
I think as many episodes we've all phoned it in. But that's just me. I've listened to all of them more than once. Anyway, folks, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Blech.
I mean, it's a little stuffy in here.
A little chilly.
But I got to say, it's a beautiful day on the banks of the River Raisin.
It is. You know, the interesting thing about July is that...
Okay.
Is that some people actually do celebrate Christmas in July.
Yes.
And the reason I bring this up is because we're going to segue right into the first movie of Phase 2, which is Iron Man 3. Which is
a Christmas movie.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely.
I somehow remember it mostly being in Monaco or something, but that's okay.
No, that's number two.
Oh, gosh. That's how well I know the Monaco.
Number three actually was in Tennessee. It's the one with the Mandarin. It's the one you've been waiting for.
Well, I know it's Mandarin's in it, but I guess I'm getting two and three confused. So this is the one with all the extra iron suits, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's when I thought they went over the top. Jumped the shark, as they would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and I loved every bit of that.
I'm sure you did.
On to the next
one. Doesn't make it wrong. It's just I'm just saying is that at some point it's like, well, then if we have all these extra Iron Men running around, why do we need the Avengers?
Because Ultron's going to need some bodies coming around.
Well, there you go.
Okay, this is before Ultron, right?
This is before Ultron, yeah. Okay. I loved Iron Man 3 because, in my opinion, not only was it a Christmas movie that I pull out every year, but I loved the fact that they made the twist that the Mandarin was not the big bad guy. He was just some
idiot. Which I thought was
idiot.
Brilliant. Everybody off.
I know, which is what I enjoyed probably even more.
I think
and
so
for
too.
More on the Mandarin, you have to watch the Wonder Man TV show.
Yes. Yes. Which was actually pretty good as well. Did you see that, Ron?
What's that?
The Wonder Man?
I did not.
Okay. I haven't seen it either, so we have a big party.
Mandarin comes back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He does.
The actor.
The Ben Kingsley, the actor.
But it's, yeah. I liked that.
Yeah, I did too.
I know that's too far away from phase
two.
about it at this point, but the story does not end at the Iron Man 3.
No. In fact, there's a little short that he does as well that he's in with... trying to think who else is in it. Him and another villain that gets thrown into the prison. And he gets dragged off, which probably explains why he's ended up where he's at.
He's basically for one gag and it gagged.
Yeah. But Iron Man 3, did you guys like that one? I mean, as the Iron Man series goes.
I did because I don't even remember it.
Yeah, you loved it.
This one did set up for Ironheart, correct?
No.
I think that's what
it looked like it was going for with the kid. That they were trying to establish some sort of...
Yeah, but Ironheart came from Wakanda.
Yeah, they ended up going a different route.
They went a different route.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I think essentially this one they were setting it up so when Tony Stark's gone, we'll have this new kid to be...
We'll still have Tony Stark.
Well, and Ironheart, of course, in the comics is a completely different thing too. So they probably were still true to the comic, but not for what they were trying to do here, I thought.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing I think, looking back on the older movies now, you wonder how much of a plan they had. Because again, things like that where they didn't, it was never revisited again.
Right.
You know, in
yeah. did, until the, yeah.
Right. Did they have an idea that, okay, this is going to be this huge universe? I still don't think that at this point they did.
I'm gonna push back on that just a little bit. I do think they did. I don't think Iron Man 3 was in that major plan at this point. I think they just had to get Robert Downey Jr.'s third movie and get it out of the way. But by the time Phase 1 ended and the big reveal of Thanos, they had the plan of the Infinity Stones. They had they had
that
the major
cover a lot of bases.
Well, because they had the major arc.
Yeah,
at
they
that
had
point.
Started. Exactly. I can't remember all the tags and when they came in, but they had started teasing the Infinity Stones. I believe even at this point.
Oh sure, sure. Yeah.
Now, what a lot of the so-called universe building in the early days was just those tags.
Yes.
You know, these were standalone movies with the characters. They weren't crossing over like you get to Civil War. You get to. Even the last Captain America, New World, is like, part of me is like, didn't even really feel like a Captain America movie. It felt like a Hulk movie with Captain America on the side.
Oh, I thought it was more of the Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
No, that I'm going to the last one. I jumped too far ahead.
The
Tom Clancy one, I think, was great.
Yeah, well, and we're about to hit that here in a second. Again, out of the three Iron Men, it is my favorite, partly because of the Mandarin twist. I've always liked that. And Ben Kingsley.
Well, he's great.
Is just an amazing actor. I liked the guy who played the major villain who created the Extremists. Extremists.
I
can't remember his name now, but I know my husband.
I can see his face, but I can't.
Yeah, my husband would know him because he was in my husband's favorite Australian soap opera, Neighbors, way back in the day. But anyway, but I thought the end battle was absolutely perfect with all those suits and him jumping and leaping from one suit to the other. And it truly reminded me of several Iron Man comic book covers when
Guy Pearce.
Yes. didn't he date Madonna? Oh, there's a joke.
That was Guy Ritchie.
Oh, that's Guy Ritchie. That's
but
right.
Probably. I mean, at this point, everybody's got a piece.
This is that in-depth research that you all listen to us for.
We include you.
So anyway, end credit scene-wise, it was kind of a throwaway, but it was a cute throwaway. You see Tony laying on the couch, obviously looking like a therapist's couch as he's, you know, saying, and this is how I felt by the end and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you pull back to reveal that the doctor he's talking to is really Bruce Banner, who's like sitting there going, you know, this isn't what I do. Yeah. So it was kind of a cute ending.
What was Stan Lee's cameo in this one? We really should be tracking that because
yeah, we should be tracking, and I don't know. I wrote down a few of his, but I didn't on this one
because I think if Stan's still active,
Yeah.
Was that the one where he was stuck on the asteroid?
Nope, we'll get to that.
That's later.
That is later, and we're going to get to that.
A little foreshadowing for you people out there.
Thank you, Bob.
Stan Lee was a beauty pageant judge on a television monitor. In a brief scene, he happily holds up a score of 10 for one of the contestants.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Cameo was notably short, which actually frustrated Lee. He had originally filmed a much longer comedic scene that was cut down because the movie was running too long.
Well, Stan was under the misimpression that the movies were about him.
Well, you mean they weren't?
Yeah. I miss Kirby. Anyway, so that's Iron Man 3.
Real quick, so the reason I liked the movie?
Yes, please.
Is because at the point in time I was working at Disney, and all of that merchandise, all those Iron Man suits, little kid's got to have an action figure, right?
Right, right.
Ching, 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 ching. Ha ha, hey pal, I got a new pair of shoes.
I love it. Did you like that, the third Iron Man, Bob?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Iron Man was never my favorite character. But what they did with the show and the twist ending definitely was a huge plus.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And then Phase 2 continued with another standalone Avenger. And this is the one I've been waiting for to talk to Ron about. who swears that the fourth Thor movie was the absolute worst.
Oh, yeah.
But now we're into Thor The Dark World.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
The comic book version is so good.
I think
they would just follow the. There was a map to do a good movie right in front of them, and they went, we're going to do this instead.
I think you're right. I still say the last one was the worst movie.
Okay.
But this is probably 1B.
1B? All right. This movie, I remember even going to the theater, it absolutely bored the daylights out of me.
Me too.
I mean, it had some cool special effects, but
it was okay.
Movies do now.
Sure. Sure. You know, yeah. No, I agree with that. And actually, the scenes where the Dark Elves invade Asgard,
right.
Those were some nice little action scenes. And there was the surprise that they killed off Odin's wife in there as well. I'll never figure out, and this has bothered me to this day, how, because of course we've got the ether, which is technically the reality stone, one of the infinity stones, but it's never actually a stone throughout any of this. But in the end, it is one of the infinity stones. And they don't, in my opinion, ever really explain how it went into a solid after being nothing but this
magic.
Yeah. So yeah, Thor Dark World, and I would put it even in phase 4 and 5 movies, I still put Thor Dark World towards the bottom of all the movies. But my biggest issue is that the reality stone really wasn't a reality stone. It was a reality vapor.
Vapor.
Yeah.
Which is.
Well, and again, to Ron's point, is that maybe they still were trying to figure out how they were going to get to Infinity War.
And that could be as well.
Could just be, well, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew they had to do it because it was, at least for those fanboys of a certain age, you know, the Infinity Stones saga or war, whatever we called it at the time with the Avengers, you know, that was the biggest event the Avengers ever had. And, it was a defining moment.
Right. Right.
Exactly. And another question I think is, we don't know or we may not remember what Hemsworth's contract status was.
Yes.
How many movies did he sign up for? That's was it only two? Yeah. We don't, you know, I mean, not saying that they just said, we'll just get this done so he can leave. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah. Well, but they ended up, with 4 or 5 Thor movies?
Four.
And he's still here.
Yeah, he's going to be in the...
He never left, actually.
No,
he's always been
an Avenger.
Still working out, so...
Yeah, and this is the first time he used his own hair, by the way.
Really?
That's his own hair?
That was his own hair.
Good for him.
Yeah, and then the first one he used a wig that he couldn't stand. But in this one,
normally gets done. The first one stinks.
Yeah, but I thought the first Thor to me was better than the second. Now, end credit scene on that one, there's two. Thor and Jane, of course, are reunited.
Yep.
As this creature, then you see this creature that was stalking London, still stalking London. But the bigger one was Sif and the heavy guy from the Warriors 3.
Yep.
Going into the collector's...
Falstaff.
Yeah. Thank you. Falstaff. Going into the collector's place to hand him the ether. Because they did not want it on Asgard, because Asgard already had the Tesseract and the other stone. So those were you. But again, one still building on the Infinity Stone storyline. Anything else we want to say about Thor before we move on from that mess? That's what I thought. All right. defense rest. Yeah. Then we come up with, and we said it in our last episode about this, about the MCU, what is considered to me, and I'm pretty sure to most people at this table, to be the zenith of Captain America movies, Captain America Winter Soldier. This was brilliant. And I know I've used that word a lot, but this was a brilliant comic book movie.
Well, I think just you can even take the comic book off of it. I think it was a brilliantly done movie.
Yeah.
It had everything that you'd need. You know, you could watch it as a standalone and not have to, I mean, you wouldn't need to know what else was going on.
Right.
You can thoroughly enjoy it. And it was just, oh.
You were just dropped into a Tom Cruise movie.
Without Tom Cruise,
which made it even better.
Yes.
Yeah. Winter Soldier. And what did we have on Winter Soldier? We had, first of all, well, not only just first of all, we had the introduction of Sam, or the Falcon.
Yep.
We had Redford in it. You can't get much bigger name than Robert Redford in a movie like
more like
that.
Like leather, you could see.
Yes. We had what I found to be, you know, and as Bob referenced earlier, it was almost Tom Clancy
in its way of doing things. And that's what it got me. It felt like the perfect blending of superhero and spy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, they took the Tom Clancy, James Bondish, or probably more like a...
LeClaire.
Tom Cruise.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, then it's not Tom Cruise.
The Fugitive.
Fugitive. I don't know if you're just naming movies now, but I like that one.
Well, no, I mean, I think that kind of fits
Bourne. Yeah, Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason Bourne.
Bourne. Bourne identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're of a certain age. It takes a while for some of this information to come back
once
out.
It goes. What?
Yeah, once it goes.
You got 5 minutes. Anyways.
We're still talking about Dark World, right?
Yeah.
What? We're still talking about comics?
It had such potential.
Anyway, go ahead.
Real quick, we mentioned Robert Redford, and then we talked about Ben Kingsley, right? Mm-hmm. And all these phenomenally trained and brilliant actors that are in these comic book movies. Mm-hmm. But then you have someone like Martin Scorsese, who just says that they are the bane of the movie industry.
Yeah.
So how does that work when you have some of these phenomenally trained and brilliant people mm-hmm. that sign up to be in these movies, yet you've got one of the greatest directors that most people claim is a great director says that these movies are horrible. How is that?
They haven't paid Martin Scorsese enough money to direct a movie
yet. Yeah, I guess that really what it gets to. But that just always surprised me that you have the talent. Mm-hmm. Not that Scorsese's not talented. God, please don't let me think I'm saying that. But it's
we're getting emails now.
But it's interesting to me, you know, that on the acting standpoint, these, and again, I know it's all about, it is also about the paychecks. I get that. But why would some of these people put their names on these? You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying, and I think part of it is obviously paycheck. I think there are those actors that grew up reading comics, and they love the idea of being. RDJ said he grew up on comics, so he was in for the whole Iron Man thing and the universe building of this. But I will say I don't think Scorsese is totally wrong either. I do think if you look back on the movies that predated Jaws and Close Encounters and Star Wars, you had some phenomenal acting movies that told their own story. You had All the President's Men, which, by the way, is kind of reminiscent of Winter Soldier in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, you had your Godfathers, you had Network, you had movies that meant something and told a story. And then we had, and I'm not blaming Spielberg because the man's a legend, but you had Here Comes Spielberg with Jaws, then you had Close Encounters, then you had George Lucas with Star Wars, and suddenly the big budget and the flash and the excitement, you know, took over. Well, and it, the Marvel movies stepped it up to a whole different level. Yeah.
But I'm going to debate that a little, because you go back to Superman, the 1977, 78 film.
You
had Brando Hackman, Mario Puzo took a stab at, you know, he got the writing credit, but it was really the first draft.
Right.
You know, you had big names.
For those.
Because Hollywood also understood, unless we take a serious shot at these, we're not going to make money on these.
Right.
Because you had other kind of superhero movies come along that just weren't working. Right. And even after Superman, You know, they tried to go back to the let's cheap it out again. I think 2 was kind of the peak of that Christopher Reeve series. But then it was like, oh, we'll bring in Richard Pryor and make number 3 a full-fledged comedy. And let's let Faye Dunaway chew up some scenery in the Supergirl movie. And then number 4, Quest for Peace, well, that's just throw whatever we want, slop we want at the screen and see how it works.
It was the 70s. Yeah.
You know, and then you had the first He-Man movie, The Masters of the Universe, with Dolph Lundgren.
Flash Gordon.
Batman with Jack.
Flash Gordon was great.
I think Flash Gordon was great, but I don't think it was great for its time.
Well, and it was never designed to be the big...
It was a B-movie.
Yeah, I think they tried for that at the beginning. Okay. But, you know...
But Batman...
But, right.
But Marvel then said, I agree, they took a different level. It's like, we're going to be serious about it. We're not going to... cheap out and just make them funny anymore,
right?
And that's what this Captain America movie did. It said, we can show some flaws here in our own system and make a commentary on society at the same time.
And I think what really sold it for me was, and actually I remember our whole family was on vacation down in Texas, the moms, all the kids, we went and saw that, and my husband even didn't argue going back and seeing that a second time the next day in IMAX 3D. There, and I'll tell you, the Falcon flying scenes were pretty darn cool in that 3D.
Oh, awesome.
But because we all love that, because it was something we hadn't seen in phase 1 or so far in phase 2, and it also showed the audience that they were serious about making sure you didn't know what was going to happen in this universe, because S.H.I.E.L.D. went down. They took out S.H.I.E.L.D. completely. So to speak.
Yeah, to me, the most unbelievable part of the movie, of course, was that they decided to put the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarriers under the Potomac River. Let's put them in the most inconvenient spot possible at the heart of Washington, D.C., where what could go wrong? Nobody saw us building those.
Yeah. I think it was also for Chris Evans, it was the idea that this was Steve Rogers' heaviest piece. Yeah. It was him trying to get Bucky back.
Well, it still gave us America's ass, though.
Oh, well, of course, right. Yeah.
Isn't that the word came from?
Yeah, yeah. America's ass. the also, and not only was the movie wonderfully done, and again, Black Widow being in it the cast was perfect. It also, I thought, set up very nicely the first hints of what I consider to be as we get into phase 3, the Secret Avengers. Once the Avengers are torn apart, you've got, who do you got on the covert side leading the pack? You got Cap, you got Falcon, and you got Black Widow. So here's the beginning signs of that
and
as
also,
well.
Though, by bringing in Black Widow, because I think prior to this, I don't think, except for the Bruce Banner kind of cameo thing, I don't think you had the other movies, you had characters interacting with anyone else in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
You know, they could have all been standalone. Well, now we've shown that, these folks are all together in the same place.
Right, exactly. Which is what the Marvel Comics were very good at doing as well. You know, especially the Cap series. Captain America's book, there was a lot of time. Well, the Falcon hung out with him forever and a day.
The new title of the book.
But, you know, Cap always had Avengers kind of coming in and out, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% there. Then we have the post-credit scenes, which set up stuff wonderfully. We had Bucky at his own memorial in the museum, which was, and by the way, that music, there was a creepiness to the soundtrack to that one that I really loved as well.
It sounded like a museum.
Yes, it did. But yeah, there was a.
Yeah. Well, and I like the idea that I'd better find out what's happened while I was gone.
Yes.
Essentially is what it was, I thought.
But then the second post-credit scene was a beautiful setup for Ultron, where they show Baron Strucker holding on to Loki's scepter with the Mind Stone. There you go again. We got a little bit of Infinity in there. And the first reveal of Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch.
Yes. Yep.
So, you know, which were Cap's buddies. Because if you're a comic fan, a lot of you know,
you comic fans out there, like Ron, that the Avengers, that the second set of Avengers after the originals left was Cap, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. So I thought their introduction in a Cap movie was absolutely the smartest thing to do.
They were there at the beginning of the Silver Age of comic.
Right. So bringing them in to me was perfect. So Winter Soldier, any last words on that one before we can, because I think it was a brilliant movie.
Yeah, it was probably one of my favorites of the whole. Yeah. The whole.
Definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, it just was perfect. Next, then we go on to, and this is why I titled it, The Biggest Bunch of A-Holes in the Galaxy, the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Which, again, now I think Phase 2 had a lot going on. Good stuff going on, especially after you got past Thor. Now things are really starting to build. And I was the first one to say, Guardians of the Galaxy, is this going to be Marvel's first dud?
Yes.
That was my first thought on that is, you're really stretching with these people because if you didn't think anybody knew Iron Man, nobody knows Gamora, Star-Lord, Drax, Groot, and Rocket.
Yeah, but obviously you needed them for what was to come, too.
Sure. But they were smart. They knew what they were doing. But to me, it was the first one that I, as they were announcing it and getting, you know, we're getting closer. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Well,
now they're attractions at Disneyland and Disney World. So, I guess they've done okay.
They did excellent. And we, you know, and what did we have in that movie? We had, we had the Collector return. We had Ronan, which was, and of course, now we're going into the very, very much into the space part of the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. We had Xandar. We had the Nova Corps, although you never saw Nova.
Right.
Nova Prime. We had a powerhouse Glenn Close in that movie. So here we go again. She wasn't a big part of it, but we had her cameos. John C. Reilly had a great cameo or a little part of that. And we had glimpses of both Howard the Duck and was it Cosmo? Was that the name of the dog?
The dog, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Cosmo.
The telepathy dog, Cosmo? I think it's a introduction of the Ravengers, and the whole thing was actually probably the second. Thor's Dark World had the first full one about an Infinity Stone. Here's our second movie about an Infinity Stone, the Power Stone.
Yeah.
So, I
will point out that Howard looked like Howard should have looked.
Yes.
Yes.
Because in Howard's own movie, speaking of flops, from the 80s,
it could have been a contender.
You know, they made him look too much like Daffy
Duck.
Well, they made him cute.
Yeah.
Not Daffy Donald. That's what I was thinking. Which, of course, they had to change in the comics because that was the whole problem. Is it too close to being Donald? Well, of course, who knew that Donald would one day be an owner of Marvel? Yeah. But I think that that Howard looked more like Howard from the comics.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's specifically why Howard wears pants was to avoid copyright and trademark infringements with Disney.
Did you ever read the Howard comics?
I read some of them when they were in the larger format.
Did you?
Yeah, more adult side of it.
Right, yeah. Did you ever read Howard?
No.
Okay, thanks, Ron. So you guys' take on... Oh, and by the way, Stan Lee's cameo on that was in this one, I remember, was at the beginning when Groot and Rocket are looking for a quick buck. And they're going through and looking at all these people, and then they come across Stan Lee, who's hitting on this young woman, and like, oh, look at this prevert. Blah, blah, blah. So that was Stan Lee's cameo in that. I don't think he actually ever said anything. You just saw him standing there. So, and of course, we had the famous dance off. Again, Guardians. And Guardians worked, in my opinion, not just because, again, they casted it wonderfully. Marvel MCU knows how to cast movies, but for the most part, 90% of the time, James Gunn really was the driving force of this movie, and probably why he's now
at DC
running everything DC.
but it also had one of the greatest soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you throw all those old classic 70s hits in and you blend them into some of these action scenes.
We're not talking member berries here, folks. We're talking right on. This is good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think of Guardians?
I liked it, of course.
Hated it. I'm sorry. I enjoyed it. I was like you, where it's like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I gave it a shot and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I liked it very much. I also think, though, that the comedy that they established,
mm-hmm.
almost it hit so well that it gave them the, like, hey, we can just keep doing this for every movie. And I don't think they should have.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and we'll get into that, obviously, as we go later into the
phases. We want to start talking James Gunn and my concern with him in the DC side is that
everything's got to have a bit of a...
Got to be careful with the comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I totally agree.
You know, going into it, I thought, Chris Pratt, are you serious?
Yeah.
Dave Bautista, are you serious?
Yeah.
Dave Bautista, and I will go to my grave saying that he is the best former professional wrestler turned actor there is.
Really?
Yes. The man has range, and he is amazing. I mean, he's not just in this, but he's done other roles.
I've seen other stuff.
And he's, hands down, better than Dwayne Johnson, better than John Cena.
Obviously, you're forgetting Hulk Hogan's turn in Mr. Nanny.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Let's get real here.
I mean, that's on a different...
Wasn't it Mr. Nanny?
The Three Ninjas, Santa Hulk, or whatever. But those are all on a different plane, obviously.
Give us your child, we'll
put him in this hell. But, you know, the modern era.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would totally agree with you on that. And his Drax, and it's sad that he didn't want to continue on with that character, but I understood it.
Typecasting.
Sure. Drax was, in fact, when I sat down and rewatched this movie, because I know, just like you guys, we sat down and just binged all these movies in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still watching them.
As we speak. I forgot how funny it really was and how funny Drax really was, to be totally honest.
Yeah, and Guardians was a different tone.
Absolutely.
They clearly went into it thinking we're going to have fun with this one as opposed to making this a serious universe-shaking event.
And I think that was the smartest move they could do because they had to get that audience to really – like these characters.
Yep.
Nebula was the first appearance of Nebula, I believe, was in this one as well.
So, yeah.
And of course, this was the first time we actively saw Thanos as well.
Who I believe was not
James Brolin.
Was he at that point?
The only time he wasn't.
So that was at the end of the other movie?
The Avengers. The very end of the Avengers, that post-credit, it was a different actor, but it was actually still James Brolin's voice.
Okay.
I went down the rabbit hole on
that. Okay, no, I didn't know.
And actually, the actor who played Thanos in that first end credit scene in the Avengers, you see him again in the Captain America Civil War. He is one of Crossbones' thugs at the beginning of that movie as well. So, and I hope I just didn't ruin one of the trivia questions I might have. But you'll forget it by then anyway.
I think another really cool piece from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Is you saw this band of characters, right, and how they interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know, we may have known that eventually they were all going to come together and work. How was that going to work? How is Star-Lord going to interact with Tony Stark?
Right.
You know, I mean, two diametrically different people.
Yes.
But they need each other.
Yeah, right.
So that was one of those dynamics that's like, oh, you can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So they did a great job
of
building those characters to where, like you said, you're emotionally involved.
Yeah.
That's really what tells a story.
Yeah. And it was interesting that it started, that one started with the death of Quill's mother,
mm-hmm.
which was very sad. Now, I also read that the first Guardians movie actually had the distinction of having the largest body count of any movie to date at that time. Just because of the war on Xandar and just the people being...
Marvel movie.
That's not what I read.
the highest body count of any movie made up to that point.
I mean, what about Alderaan?
I'm not.
We can presume there were a few billion people on that planet.
Jimmy Smits was on that, for God's sakes.
I know, we lost him. It was horrible.
I'm saying, well, and maybe how many times have we watched Krypton explode?
Yeah. And maybe I read it wrong. Maybe it's Marvel, but for a Marvel movie, it definitely.
I mean, it had a mom die, so you knew it was Disney. Yeah.
There's a lot of World War II movies out there, too, right? So.
But for a Marvel movie,
I can believe it for a Marvel movie, but
because everybody seemed to get slaughtered at the end of that. For the
then there was Rogue One, for God's sakes.
Rogue One, what a great movie.
They all died.
Okay, let's continue.
Carry on.
So, any last thoughts on Guardians?
Loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it.
Yeah, again, an A movie.
Jeff, what do you think?
It didn't suck.
Thank you, Jeff. Then we come to the fifth and almost final of phase two. And to me, again, just my personal opinion, the best of all the Avenger movies, Age of Ultron, which got the most lackluster at the time. It was probably the one that everybody went, Age of Ultron was okay. But
the first Avengers movie was in phase one, right?
Yeah, that's how it ended.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the first Avengers movie? Because I think I
two episodes
that.
Ago.
Yeah, thank you.
Before Stephen Colbert.
Yes. And your big break.
And my big break.
And here he's.
And here I am on the porch. Looking at the beautiful river raisin.
Okay, thank you. I'm just confused old man on the porch.
That's all right. This is why I know Age of Ultron kind of got a little bit of a backlash, as you know, it was a week here, it was a week there, and there's arguments, and definitely those definite arguments to be made. I think Whedon had to throw in stuff that he didn't want to throw in to continue the larger arc. I never have figured out why Thor went off on his own and had some kind of a vision. Well, because he had to see the vision and the Mind Stone. Yes. That's why.
Get the Norn Stones.
The Norn Stones, yes. So, but the reason why I like it more than any other Avenger movie is because it starts with the Avengers all together. It ends with the Avengers all together. Well, the big two of them are going off on their own for a while. But it wasn't a complete Avengers movie. It wasn't an origin story. It wasn't a story of how all these pieces come together. They're there. This is, to me, an Avenger comic book, perfectly done. Every battle, every scene, you have all of those Avengers together doing what they're supposed to be doing, other than Tony and
they've been training Bruce, in the three-dimensional workout program at Tony's place.
Right. And they other than Tony and Bruce, who are creating a killer bot. I love this movie. I really did. I thought the fight scenes, and this is where I start, and actually, no, I take that back. Winter Soldier is where you really start seeing some wonderful choreography in battles. And seems like they kept moving upping that. You're seeing Tone or Steve and that shield. If you notice from the very first his first movie and the first Avengers, the shields, he's handling the shield decently, but by the time we get to Age of Ultron, he is swinging that thing and it is bouncing off the walls and coming right back to him the way
doing
it,
things
it does.
That no shield should be able to do,
right? Like Spider-Man says in the third one, this is not logical. But
This is a man who can pull a helicopter out of the sky. So
yeah, you know, Winter Soldier.
Rip America, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but still, it's like
rip a stump in half.
And James Spader.
I'm not sure that works. I don't care how strong he is. I'm not sure that it works with physics and mass, but okay.
James Spader as the voice of Ultron, perfect in my opinion. Made me want to go back and watch Boston Legal, actually, when I rewatched it. But,
I just think, what if it was James Gandolfini? As Tony Soprano as Ultron. Hey, you really want to do this?
You're going to eat that.
Give it a cabba cool.
And is this the movie that introduces the Vision?
This is where they introduce the Vision. You've got Quicksilver and Wanda's.
It's just Vision, maybe. I don't know if it's Vision. E-Vision. I think it's maybe just Vision.
Yep. The Mind Stone is placed in Vision. You know, it starts off with them getting a hold of back the Scepter and the Mind Stone. And we have two major deaths. We have the death of Quicksilver at the end, and we have the death of Jarvis. So, although Jarvis becomes Vision.
Do we?
And when we find out about Bruce and Natasha,
the phase three here is just the movies. But is this when the Sharon Carter television show has already gone on, or is that comes afterwards?
I think we're not quite
okay.
We're not quite because I know Sharon Carter series.
Okay,
but this. No, that's not where this happens either. Sharon Carter, I know Sharon Carter.
Well, because I know the actor who plays Vision also is Jarvis in that.
In that series as well. Okay. Yeah, very young. Peggy Carter.
Peggy Carter. I'm sorry, I said Sharon.
Yeah.
Sharon's the daughter.
Sharon, niece.
Niece.
And Sharon's been introduced.
Wasn't she a daughter?
Winter Soldier.
No, she was a niece in the comics too. Yeah. Had to be because, you know.
Right, age-wise. Again, to me, I just love the fight scenes in it. I love the fight. I loved, and of course, there's that whole scene at the beginning when they're or after you know when they're celebrating and they're all trying to pick up the hammer and you know that's cute. And it, of course, the first glimpse of Cap
actually
moving
the hammer,
making Thor just a tad down the nervous side.
I love the look that Hemsworth does when he looks at the hammer that's jiggling.
Yes.
And it just says,
yeah, I know. Kind of like, oh my God.
It's about worthiness, not about strength.
Yes. I loved Rhodes and Iron and Tony, you know, represent, man. Anyway.
And I think in the comics, I was just thinking people who could pick up Thor's hammer when DC has crossovers with them. I think both Superman and Wonder Woman were able to pick up the hammer as well.
I think they were, yeah. The first fight scene when Ultron first appears. And, of course, Disney had to throw in a Disneyism with the I Have No Strings to Tie Me Down, which was a nice little nod as well to all things Disney.
All things are Disney.
Well, that's we are Disney.
Well, now all things are Paramount. So,
anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised the way the mergers and everything working in all these intercompany deals, and this is just a stray thought. Maybe we could see a Marvel DC crossover.
I'm telling
in the
you,
movies.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
I can't remember what it was I saw that was something that Warner was doing, and then it's like, and Disney was involved in it. It's like, oh, they're already crossing over as companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it was. It wasn't. It might have been toys or something.
Yeah. What did you guys? Your thoughts, your takes on Ultron, Age of Ultron. It also set up the Sokovian accords of later on.
Yeah. I was not as enamored with it as you are, but it was a solid movie.
It was a good comic book movie.
That's what I thought. It was a good Avenger comics movie.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite, but it's no, Thor, Love, and Thunder. So.
Or Dark World. Yeah.
So.
Ant-Man. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, the first one wasn't bad.
Hold on, we're about to get into that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And of course, the end of the post-credit scene was Thanos putting on the glove, saying, "I'll do it myself," which showed, okay, here we go, folks.
Imagine if that was Larry David. Well, should I? I don't know. Maybe. What's it? Or Seinfeld? What's the deal with these Avengers? Am I right? You got Captain America. What's that?
Okay, hey. I got one more for you. I'll take the glove and fist put it in the fist myself. Giggity.
All right.
All right.
Come on, we're all just trying to have
fist me.
Anyway, all right. So that was Avengers Age of Ultron.
I'm surprised that Family Guy hasn't done.
Avengers. They've done little
superpowers with the Super Friends.
Well, and they've done one, I think, with Black Widow. So what is it? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
But that was it. But a whole episode of
Meg,
right?
Avengers and Meg. Anyway, and then we get to the very end of Phase 2 with Ant-Man.
Now, real quick, before we get into that, so back when Disney acquired Marvel, mm-hmm. we were at a conference, and John Lasseter was there, and we all got to ask questions. And someone asked him, you know, if you could, you know, now that you are you part of Marvel, what would be the first movie you'd make? And you know what he said?
Ant-Man,
because that was his favorite character growing up as a child.
Really?
Yeah, so well, he had all these ideas.
Really?
And he's like, the animation that would be great. He's like, oh, just let me get my hands on it. And then he got his hands on somebody else, and then they decided to see it. So,
that's,
anyways.
That's yeah. Hollywood too.
As it goes in Hollywood,
meanwhile,
it seems.
Meanwhile, back
yeah.
at the ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Anyway, so Ant-Man, of course, introduced Scott Lang. Introduced Hank Pym again. Now we got Michael Douglas.
Yeah, but and I liked that.
Yes.
Because it was like, well, how are they going to deal with this whole Hank Pym history and all that?
A huge hunk of history.
Well, in the comics, there certainly is, and it's not a pleasant one.
No.
And you know, he's basically he was an abuser of his wife, and
he was messed up psychologically,
and just all that. So, and then we give him superpowers. So, well, that's a good idea.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly? But that was one of the things I think they explored is the fact that, you know, what if everybody's not mentally stable?
Right.
And
right.
In the Marvel Universe, of course, that's a real issue because you have mutants everywhere. Well, not in this Marvel Universe.
Not in this one.
Yet.
Not yet. We're getting real close. We're getting close.
July, it's coming up.
No, actually November or December.
Is that the
for
Spider-Man?
The Avengers. Oh, we got mutants in Spider-Man? Do we?
Have we not been paying attention to the trailers?
I just saw the one where they reveal the Hawks in it, but
there's the villain maybe. I won't spoil it for you.
Dark Phoenix, right? Because we always have to pull out Dark Phoenix.
I wouldn't say Dark Phoenix.
Oh dear God, Jean Grey's coming back again. Anyway, I did not know that. Yeah, okay.
Keep going.
We had Scott Lang. We had daughter.
Meanwhile,
we had
meanwhile back at the ranch.
Hope. Introduction of Hope. Find out that Janet Van Dyne died. And the villain was Yellow Jacket, which I thought was perfect because if for those in the comic who love the comics, Yellow Jacket actually was another Hank Pym, one of Hank's many.
Right.
He was Ant-Man, he was Giant-Man, he was Goliath, and he was Yellow Jacket. He bounced back and forth because he was psychologically disturbed.
He had a very upset costume designer.
Yeah. Well, but
wasn't he like Hawkeye for a while too?
Yeah, I think he was. Hawkeye. He gave up all those powers and he decided to be an archer. And the archer Clint decided to take.
Wasn't something weird like that?
Yeah, it was.
It was who the heck is in charge of this comic?
It was very weird. But anyway, so the villain was a Yellow Jacket who was wanting the Pym particles and the whole bit. It was a good movie. It was, to me, the most Disney-fied movie we have seen
up to
this point. It was Disney. It was, let's shrink a bunch of people, show a lot of large objects. Yes. Show a lot of large, them with large objects. We had the Scott with the little girl, father-daughter, trying to continue to bond storyline.
Scott, who is absolutely ripped in 20 minutes.
Well, it was to me Disney.
Toys.
I liked it though. I did like it a lot. It was a fun movie, but it was Disney.
They lost me when they threw Thomas the Tank at her.
I forgot about that. What did you guys think?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was a solid film. I liked the storytelling. I thought Michael Douglas did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like I said, a little concerning with how easily they were able to shrink things other than himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that was something they really did in the comics and say, well, let's shrink down cars or whatever and carry them around.
Yeah.
One, because, you know, did all that mass disappear, just get compressed, you know, might still be a two-ton car.
yeah.
You know, like a black hole kind of thing. But I don't know. But, like you said, it was kind of a Disney, the most Disney of the superhero movies.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, of course, then we have the
Post-credit scenes, two of them. Oh, I did love, my favorite scene in the Ant-Man, though, was when they tried to break into Avenger Compound.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And Ant-Man fought the Falcon and won.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool. But that takes me to the post-credit scenes. There were two of them. The first one, of course, is Hank Pym giving his daughter the Wasp costume. Yeah. So we know Wasp is on her way. And then, of course, the second one is a complete build-up to Phase 3, beginning of Phase 3, as Cap, we show Cap in Germany or whatever, saying to Falcon, we're going to need some help. And he says, I know a guy. And those are your two post-credit scenes. So, obviously, it's showing, all right, Ant-Man's going to be back, and he's definitely coming into the event. But by then, we all knew that this was building and building and building to bring them all together.
Right.
So, yeah. And there's your Phase 2. I think Phase 2 was maybe not Thor Dark World, but for the most part, I think Phase 2 was an extremely solid group of movies that truly did bring the overreaching. Or they knew at that point, this is where we're going. This is where we're going to end up, for the most part.
Yeah. These are the toys you can play with, and you don't get to play with those toys because we're making a TV show out of it.
Yeah. So.
Well, and that's where I thought what they did nicely is bring in the television component.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, some people complain, well, you got to watch so much to figure out what's going on. It's like, well, guess what? That's what people said about the comics, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make things stand alone and also tied in at the same time. And I think that's one of the things they do is, like, you can watch Captain America Winter Soldier and not watch another Marvel movie, but still know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, you can pick up on it. And
Ultron's the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch Ultron.
You could deal with this.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, back at the ranch.
You want to do a quiz?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, since it's 4th of July.
Uh-oh.
Oh, red, white, and blue nutty buddies.
Red, white, and blue nutty buddies.
Guess who has some in his pantry right now?
All right. Well, the expiration date is August 2nd, so these are going to be good for a while.
Okay.
So there's an entire red, white, and blue series of cakes here. There's the red, white, and blue cakes, the red, white, and blue donuts, the red, white, and blue brownies.
I haven't seen the donuts.
Yeah, so you've got your red, white, and blue cakes in the chocolate and white series. And Little Debbie is wearing her traditional blue and white check with the hat. I was kind of expecting to maybe see a little bit more
red, white, and blue.
Right. Yeah. But anyways, wafers with peanut butter individually wrapped. You get 10 bars in here, folks. Folks, at Key Foods, Little Debbie's, they're great.
See, why would they pay us to sponsor us? Because we're doing it for free.
And we stopped calling her Big Debs,
But I will point out.
Understand it.
Well, and of course, we know Little Debs are actually Deborah Vance's devotees in the Hacks universe.
Little Debbie.
The competitors at Hostess have caught on to the red, white, and blue because I saw that they have red, white, and blue cupcakes and red, white, and blue Twinkies now.
Well,
they sprinkled red, white, and blue stuff into the Twinkie.
I've been to a few parties that had red, white, and blue Twinkies. Yeah, I had to go.
Also surprised that there isn't maybe a 250th designation.
I'm surprised.
Because it seemed like everybody was in on that.
Because it seems to me the way we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of our country is just by letting every corporation glom onto it and say, hey, get the official American due.
Now, I will say, though,
raise up enough money to get that thing out of the mall.
Or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, it's one corporate grab.
I will say for a 250th celebration, none of the cardboard is flaking off. So that's kind of nice.
It's true. And it is blue.
Yes, that is blue. There's no green there. No, I don't see any algae either.
No.
All right.
All right. Let's get this quiz.
Let's go to the quiz.
Let's roll, McGee. Oh, a little yellow
and you could get some green.
All right. We're going to start with Ron.
Oh, I see what you did there.
We're going to start with Ron.
Yo.
And, of course, we're starting with Iron Man 3. All right.
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Does whatever an iron can. Press the shirts.
Now Spotify's going to take it away from us. You know that, right?
Need it. Fast heel, Martinize. Look out. Ah.
Here comes Iron Man.
We ready, gentlemen? All right, Ron, we're going to start with you.
Spider pig.
Does whatever a spider can.
For New Year's Eve in 1999, where was Tony Stark? Was he in A, Switzerland, B, Austria, C, Monte Carlo?
I'm going to say Monte Carlo, Brian. C, Monte Carlo.
Bob.
Monte Carlo.
And you.
Monte Carlo. Switzerland.
Switzerland.
No.
They're so close.
I may have some Nutty Buddies by the end of this.
You may. At this rate. Well, that's it, folks. We all lost.
Bob.
Jeff wins.
Jeff wins.
I wasn't even here. I'll tell you. Oh, wow.
Number two, Bob, we're going to start with you. Who ultimately, again, we're still in Iron Man 3. Who ultimately deals the final blow to Killian? Was it A, Tony, B, Pepper, or C, Rhodey?
Pepper.
And what do you say? Tony, Pepper, or Rhodey?
I think it was Pepper.
And you?
I'm going to go Rhodey, Brian, C.
It was Pepper. There you go.
Who names a character Pepper Potts? I know, Stanley.
Lois Lane.
It's got to be alliteration.
Same writers are said Peter Parker and
Lois Lane. And
Well, that's the distinguished competition. Don't cross the streams, Ron.
Jesus.
Well, Clark Kent.
Yeah, it's always been like
Excuse me.
Yeah, Richard Rider was Nova.
Reed Richards.
Yeah, Sue Storm. Yeah.
Ben Grimm. Nope, that doesn't work.
I don't know
your turn.
My turn.
Okay, we're entering the dark world now. Who is an uncredited writer? I did actually do some deep dives on some of these.
Uncredited? How would I know?
Right? Who is an uncredited writer for Thor: Dark World? Was it A, the Russo brothers, B, Tom Hiddleston, or C, Joss Whedon?
Uncredited?
Uncredited, but they did go to this and say, we need some help.
I was going to say Mario Puzo.
The Russo brothers.
I'm going to go with the Russo brothers because I don't know.
Okay.
And it seems up their alley.
Russo brothers, Tom Hiddleston, Joss Whedon.
Tom Hiddleston.
And you, Bob.
Tom Hiddleston.
Joss Whedon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been a great quiz already.
Yeah.
Ron.
Yo.
Another Thor question. Who alone... I had to watch the damn thing. I'm the only one who watched that one over. I did all the time. Four. Who alone is able to bring down a dark elf ship? A, Thor, B, Heimdall, or C, Odin?
Odin, C.
Bob, Thor, Heimdall, Odin.
Odin.
I'm going to go with Heimdall.
Dave got it with Heimdall. He ran across.
Odin was probably off in his Odin sleep or something at this point.
A little nappy time.
Every time you turn around, it's like, oh, I'm the most powerful god. I got to go sleep.
You got to watch. Now,
I need my nap.
That's why he's so
powerful.
He's
old.
That's why he's so powerful.
He's so powerful and so ancient.
Let me give up an eye to get some knowledge.
Bob, we're heading into Winter Soldier now for the next question. Where do Rogers and Romanoff review the information given over by Nick Fury? Was it A, a Radio Shack, B, a library, or C, an Apple store?
Can I have those again?
Sure. A Radio Shack, a library, or an Apple store?
First one.
Radio Shack. What do you say?
Apple store.
And what do you say?
I'm going to say a library just so somebody gets it right.
Dave got it right with an Apple store. Dave is in the lead.
Dang.
Ron... Has never watched a Marvel movie in his life.
Cross promotion.
No.
Dave, we're still in Winter Soldier mode. Here we go. How many times? How many lines total does Sebastian Stan have in Winter Soldier? A, 9, B, 13, C, 21.
9.
And what do you say? 9, 13, 21.
I'm going to go 9.
And Bob, 9, 13, or 21?
Following the tide and going 9.
13. He had 13 lines in the whole movie.
I just figured it'd be the lowest number.
Yeah, no.
He spent most of the time brooding on his motorcycle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, brooding
trying
everywhere.
Trying to get that eye make it
he
off.
He was brooding so much. Okay. It was, turn on a black light, it'd be a...
Yikes. Anywho.
Anyway, seven, Ron.
Yo.
Why did Robert Redford agree to take the role of Alexander Pierce? Was it A, his grandkids begged him to do it, B,
B, he was a huge fan of the comic Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos. Or C, he wanted to work with the Russo brothers. His grandkids, comic book fan, working with the Russo brothers.
C.
Wanted to work with the Russo brothers. Bob, was it because of his grandkids begged him? Grandkids. And
I heard it was because his union benefits were about to expire and he needed a job. I'm going to go with grandkids.
It was grandkids. All right,
I'm going to set a record.
You're really getting close. All right, we're going with Bob on the next one, right? And Bob, we are heading into Guardians territory. What is the first song played in the Guardians of the Galaxy? Was it A, I'm Not in Love, B, Come and Get Your Love, or C, Mr. Blue Sky?
Mr. Blue Sky.
Dave, what was the first song played in Guardians, the first Guardians movie? I'm Not in Love, Come and Get Your Love, Mr. Blue Sky.
I could have sworn it was Saturday Night Fever. I'll go with Mr. Blue Sky as well.
Ron?
Come and Get Your Love, Brian.
Technically, you're real close. Yeah. Come and Get Your Love, it was I'm Not in Love. Technically, Come and Get Your Love was the first full-played song because it was when Star-Lord was dancing and heading towards.
Right.
However, he was the little boy was listening to I'm Not in Love on his Walkman right before he went in to say goodbye to his mother. So that was the first song. All right. We're doing great, Ron.
None of them were on my playlist.
I kind of figured. Okay. Who's next? Bob.
No, I did that one.
Dave. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Which Infinity Stone does the collector already have in his possession?
Crap.
A, the Mind Stone. B, the Power Stone. C, the Reality Stone.
I believe it's the... What was the second one?
Power Stone. We are still at the Guardians movie, by the way.
Yeah.
The Mind Stone, the Power Stone, the Reality Stone. Which one does the collector already have in his possession?
I think it's the Reality Stone.
And...
What are the first two?
The Mind Stone, the Power Stone, the Reality Stone.
I'm
going to
go Power Stone, Brian.
And Bob.
Reality.
It was the Reality, because that was
Vision should have the Mind Stone.
Right.
So. And the Ether was the Reality Stone, which was dropped off at the end of Thor Dark World. So, yeah. God, Ron, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm so impressed.
I don't know what's happening. Chet's right. not here.
Tell us more about uncredited people.
Please.
Your turn.
Yeah, I did that one.
Still Guardians. Who attempts to face off against Ronan by himself or herself? Was it A, Gamora, B, Drax, or C, Star-Lord?
Gamora.
Bob.
Drax.
Gamora.
Bob got it with Drax. He called him to the world.
And yet you rang the bell twice.
Yeah. I got excited there for a minute.
I did.
It was a total fake out, right?
Right?
Yeah, it was a total fake out.
He was being unnecessarily cruel.
I think so.
Bob, who doesn't join the others? We're still at Guardians. Who does not join the others in infiltrating the Dark Aster in Quill's ship? Was it A, Rocket, B, Groot, C, Gamora?
Rocket.
And Dave.
The others is a whole nother group. I don't know who.
Rocket group?
I don't even think they've had their own movie yet.
This is still Guardians.
The others. I'm talking about the others.
Oh, jeez.
I bet you there is a superhero group called The Others out there.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I'm going to say Rocket.
I am Groot.
It was Rocket. So,
I mean, at this point, how many questions have we got left?
I don't know. Take a look. Okay. Give you an answer. Okay. Well, whose turn is it?
Sure.
Dave.
Dave. Dave, we're now into Ultron.
Ooh.
In Ultron, who was the tech guy while filming this movie? Who was the tech guy referring to when he kept telling Elizabeth Olsen to look at his balls? Was it A, Thor, B, Ultron, or C, Iron Patriot?
I don't understand the question.
Exactly.
Who was the tech guy?
No. In Ultron, who was the tech guy referring to when he kept telling Elizabeth Olsen to look at his balls? Was it A, Thor, B, Ultron, C, Iron Patriot?
Ultron.
And you?
What are the choices
Ron,
again?
Thor, Ultron, Iron Patriot. You're going to choose the wrong one. I don't know why you're asking. What? Sorry.
Oh, God, it's going to be a throwdown here.
It was just, it was there. I had to
stay tuned.
Ultron.
Okay, and Bob?
Ultron.
It was Thor. No. It was Ultron because he had these two big red balls.
Well, I know how the special effects work.
Right.
I've been in a movie where I've watched them do the ball thing.
Right.
So
So it was Ultron because he was so much larger. And
real steel, for those of you wondering.
And he kept yelling.
I'm in the zoo scene, way in the back. You just can see me.
Look at James Spader's balls. Okay.
I'm drinking a beer.
Who was next? You.
Yes.
Ultron. Which Marvel character's first appearance was scrapped in the final edit of the Ultron movie? Was it A, Black Panther, B, Spider-Man, or C, Captain Marvel?
Give me Wakanda Forever, Black Panther, Brian.
All right. Bob, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, whose first appearance was scrapped from the final edit of the Avenger movie?
Black Panther.
And
well, Panther makes sense, so it was probably Marvel, but I'll go with Panther.
It was Captain Marvel.
Damn it.
Whedon really wanted to get her in there.
Hey-o.
Nobody had that. Yeah.
Did you see that DC's going back to naming the real Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel?
Yes, we talked about it on this podcast.
Yes, it's just that important.
Don't worry, I edited some of that out. Bob. Okay. Still on Ultron. After the party at Tony Stark's place, who is the first Avenger to try lifting Thor's hammer? Mm. A, Tony Stark, B, Clint Barnes, or C, Maria Hill?
Again, please.
After the party at Tony Stark's place, who is the first Avenger to try lifting Thor's hammer? Was it A, Tony Stark, B, Clint Barnes, or C, Maria Hill?
Barnes.
I think it's going to be Clint as well.
And
show me Hawkeye.
It was Hawkeye.
Because he'd be the one. He's the, I got to show how tough I'm in. Yes. I can lift this thing.
Dave.
Was Maria Hill really an Avenger? She was Avenger adjacent.
Well, I know. I just throw her name in there.
Considered a handler.
Number 15. And here I've got a tie.
Clint Barnes? Is that the right last name?
Yeah, that was Clint Barnes. Yeah.
Okay.
15, which we're in Ant-Man
now. He gave
me
that look. It's like, how dare you question my authority?
I don't remember looking like that. Number 15, we're in Ant-Man. Where did the writers originally...
I wonder if he's related to Bucky.
Once. Now I've questioned
Bucky
myself.
Barnes.
Yeah, I know. But it was Clint Barnes, wasn't
that
it?
That was the intention of my comment.
It was Clint... Was it Eastwood? No. Anyway, where did the writers originally want Scott Lang to be working at? Was it A, Jack in the Box, B, In-N-Out, or C, Chipotle? Because he ended up at Baskin Robbins. That's where they wrote him. But where originally did the writers have placed him? A, Jack in the Box, B, In-N-Out, C, Chipotle.
Still in San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume so. I wasn't there. I'm just.
I'm going to go to Jack in the Box.
Okay.
I think that's the funniest one.
In and out. All right.
And Bob.
Jack in the Box.
It was Chipotle. Yeah. All right. Ron, we're going to wrap up with you.
All right. So the only people that got a chance to win, if Bob gets this right, he ties. Dave gets it right, he wins.
Yep.
And I, wow.
You're just going to play because you love us. Okay.
And it's Barton.
Barton.
R-T-O-N.
Thank you. Sorry, Barton.
Well, I think that just defines everything.
It was a beat. You know what, Bob? Go back to the ranch.
We knew who you meant.
Who was originally supposed to be in the Avengers cameo in Ant-Man? A, the Falcon. B, Captain America. C, Black Widow.
Captain America.
And Bob, was it the Falcon, Captain America, or Black Widow who was originally supposed to be in the cameo in Ant-Man?
I'm going to say Cap.
Okay.
I'll go with Captain America as well.
The Black. Falcon.
The Falcon?
Yeah, the one that was in. Here's your Nutty Buddies, Dave.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Only by one.
You can put them with the other ones you got. Here's my other trivia question, though.
Sure.
Oh, tiebreaker.
Yeah, that we don't need. Kevin.
Well, I only won by one.
Well, you know what? Right? We could make this a 20-pointer and give Ron a chance.
Okay.
Kevin,
I know he loves his Nutty Buddies.
Oh, that's a candy bar.
Giggity.
Oh,
Bob.
Kevin Feige received an email from Mackie saying, I'm that black actor from The Hurt Locker, and I'd love to be in a Marvel movie after seeing the first Iron Man. Who did Feige first consider him for? A, the Falcon, B, the new Rhodey, or C, Black Panther?
Black Panther.
What do you think, Bob?
Black Panther.
And what do you think?
I would think Panther.
Yeah, no, the Falcon.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So that's it for this episode.
Wow, this like took forever.
It really did, and
because it wasn't just me.
So did this entire episode. I thought you meant just the quiz, but yeah, no, it took. But hey, folks, come back in 2 weeks, and we're gonna do it again.
No.
Don't worry, folks. We'll be back with a lot more funny stuff.
But
there's some toy commercials here coming up too.
Promise that. But we do promise you this: by the end of this summer event, you'll be looking at that vampire episode in a whole different light.
I doubt it.
Anyway. We'll see you in 2 weeks, folks. We're going to start phase three. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy your 250th anniversary. Enjoy your LG. Enjoy whatever you want. Just stay off our lawn.